And we are back with one of my favorite topics in the world, a topic we have not spoken about on the show for a long time, SEX. It's been a while since some of us have gotten that good. I have to admit, it's been a while since I've engaged in the horizontal mambo. At the beginning of the pandemic, staying inside felt like the hardest thing to do. But as things got worse, I stayed home. And even though things are opening back up across the country, I am still hesitant to get too comfortable. To all of my people out here at home, in isolation, in fear of having a dry summer in the midst of this hot Rona summer, we got you. As usual, we're keeping it saucy and sweet. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. This week, we are joined by one of my favorite people, Soheil Pedram, a journalist based in New York and Paris who is the coolest of the coolest. Soheil and I both attend the Craig Newmark School of Journalism, and I'm always happy to get some of my faves from journalism school to come by. So, welcome to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on. I know you're a supporter of the podcast, so, you know, represent, yes.
Yes, I am.
yeah, so... I think you were asking before, like, how I'm doing. I'm doing all right. Like, it's like 90 degrees. You're wearing a mask outside. You know, you're sweating. You're uncomfortable. But I'm pretty happy because I got my eyebrows done today. And I haven't got my eyebrows done in months because it just opened. So I'm in a good mood.
Back to the essentials.
Word. Like, honestly, I got my hair. I dyed my hair.
Yeah, the first thing I did when I arrived in Paris and everything was open was like, cut my hair. I was like, this is the moment.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, but for me, like, I was complaining for months to everyone, like, I gotta get my hair done, I gotta get my eyebrows waxed. You can't take that away from me.
Yeah, I think the gays were suffering a lot during lockdown for not getting haircuts, and yeah, I feel like it was a relief. My hair was so long, and I have short hair. It's such a, yeah, so nice.
Yeah, I know, and I miss normalcy, and it's weird because, like, if you go on social media, everyone's like, you would think the pandemic is done, but then you have people like me who are, like, in between, where, like, I want to do these things, but I'm seeing that there's a surge across the country.
Are you still in New York?
I'm still in New York. I was born and raised here, so I've been here, you know, and I don't know what to do. I'm like, shit, like, I do want to go out, and I do still bike and stuff. I do stuff, but... not as much as everyone else because I just don't feel comfortable going to the beach right now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I see Americans being torn. Luckily for French people, we're mostly doing well. We have some clusters, but they're very marginal. Like, there has been no reason to really worry about a second wave for now in France. We did lock our borders with you guys because we were like,
got it.
Please keep that away from us.
Keep that over there.
Keep it to yourself. but yeah, so like it's almost back to normal here. Like, it doesn't feel very different.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And to be honest, that's what Governor Cuomo is doing now. He's like, all of you guys keep that over there. If you're coming back to New York, quarantine yourself.
Very good idea. Very good idea.
And I see people out eating and acting like things are back to normal. And it's kind of scary because it's like, well, things aren't going to be normal until there's a vaccine, you know? Like, I don't think until there's a vaccine that we can even say here that, like, oh, we should still be able to do this and that. It's like, well, yes and no. Like, yeah, I think we should be able to get our hair done. But, like, eating next to someone and their spit gets on your food when they're talking, I'm a little bit nervous about that. So I'm like, let me... Exactly, yeah. So, but, you know, it's an interesting year. Like, I think 2020 is a year of change and of, like, adjusting and adapting.
Yeah, it's a year of destruction and rebirth, definitely.
Rebirth. I like that. Destruction and rebirth. I like that. Yeah. It's true. Like, I just got out of a friendship 2 days ago that was not in any way benefiting me. a toxic person who I want nothing to do with. And I told her that. And that was like, for me, that was like, wow, this is what 2020 is showing me. Like, these are your friends. These are not your friends. These are the people you should be with. And I'm learning, and like, you know, it's crazy. It's just, it's crazy. It's 2020 is, yeah.
It's interesting. I feel like every year I would have those breakthrough and like have some like big reveal around a relationship or like a big end. But this year, somehow I didn't. Like, life was a big reveal, but my relationships, they've just like continued to, like, they've endured, they've like grown, they've like, I don't know, maybe I'm finally like getting some sustainable friendships, I don't know.
It takes a while to get there.
Yeah, but this year seems different. In spite of all the things around me, my friendships have been the one thing that have remained stable.
Yeah, no, that's good, yeah. That's good. I mean, it's definitely a year we're never going to forget. I'll tell you that right now. We're never going to forget.
Definitely. And I hope we never do. Like, this is insane. I was kind of sad of leaving the U.S. I left the first week after the protest started. And I was actually really pissed because when the protest started, I started to get sick. And I thought, shit, it's COVID. I can't go out. And I got tested, and I was like, please give me my test early so I can go out and protest. And then I got my test results, like, the Monday I was leaving for, like, I was in the taxi going to the airport.
Yeah.
So I was like, shit. So, yeah, so I left, and I couldn't participate in the protest, but instead I just, like, watched TV all weekend long, and I just was, like, I was extremely pissed at the TV coverage, but I was so happy and felt so, like, I don't know, there's such a powerful energy that got out of this movement and is getting out right now, and I really want to be contributing to it and be, like, yeah, you know, like, I think everyone has to give something right now for this to really endure. And, but now I'm in France, and where we have this thing also, like, we, whatever is happening, like, all of the things happening in the U.S. have had an echo in France. So, like, we gave a new life again to our movement against police brutality, which is struggling a lot to get heard. And we've passed the, like, initial, like, wave that the U.S. has been helping us with. And now we're, like, entering a sort of resistance moment where, like, I feel as journalists we have, like, a role to just, like, keep it in the news and try to get the conversation continuing moving forward, because it's kind of being pushed away by our elected officials in France. I mean, everyone has their own kind of hell. I feel like the U.S. has, like, a lot of officials now renaming streets and, I don't know, calling their BLT BLM, and that's their vision of revolution all of a sudden. And,
yeah,
and that's another way of, like just not actually changing anything, but I don't know, putting some lipstick on it or something.
Yeah. I mean, things have kind of died down a bit here. I remember this last week, people were like tearing down, I think last week or weeks ago, they were tearing down, you know, the monuments, the racist monuments.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see that monument in front of Natural History Museum taken down, because that was a statue that I've never thought was okay, even as a kid. So
what was that statue again?
It was of Theodore Roosevelt, and it had the Native American on the side, and then a slave on the side while he's on a horse. So yeah, and I was like, is it taking you this long to take that down?
Yeah.
Taking you this long? So I'm glad, I mean, I want this to still be relevant, but I'm just glad that it's good that people were angry and that people were really thinking about this stuff, but I feel like as a black person, I actually spoke about this on my last episode of Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson. It just felt like a lot for me, like a little bit too much. Just like I had to kind of like put the phone down a little bit. Because like, again, as a black person, all I do is talk about racism. So it's like, it's not, we shouldn't be the only ones talking about it. And it's okay as a black person to put your phone down and be like, you know what? I'm taking this time for myself.
Yeah.
So, and I need that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're more than right.
Yeah. And so now that we, you know, spoke a little bit about stuff and you know, what's going on. Can you introduce yourself to people who don't know you?
My name is Sohail. I grew up in France. I'm also a student journalist in New York and at the same school in CUNY. I'm a journalist between France and the U.S., North America, maybe Canada. I've practiced in Canada. I'm practicing right now in France. I've practiced in the U.S. I'm in between. And I cover topics of race, gender, sexuality. And I'm a flaming homosexual.
Ooh, okay. You have to add that.
Yes.
Also, would you consider yourself a serial dater? Like someone who dates often?
No. I think I'm pretty unsuccessful at, like... Okay, I'm French. You guys need to explain to me what dating is. Because we don't have this word in French. So this is like a whole thing I've been trying to figure out when I moved to North America. I lived 18 years in France. And when I was 18, I moved to Montreal.
Yeah.
And that's where I started to get it, like, acquainted with the idea of dating. And for me, it was completely new because in France, you're, like, flirting or you're together. Now okay. We're having a sort of equivalent to dating appearing because of you guys' influence in France. But basically, yeah, like, so I'm trying to learn what dating is. And since I've been in New York, I think I still don't get what dating is. So I have sex friends, I have flirts, but I don't know what dating is. And I don't know if I'm dating. I guess it's the French part in me that's, like, resisting all of this.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Like, dating, at least here, you know, like, you take someone out, you get to know them. You don't necessarily have to have sex to be dating. Now, obviously, in this generation, everybody has sex. So, like, you know, that's part of it. But with dating, it's like, you could also multi-date. So, like, you're dating this person, you go on a date Tuesday, and then Thursday you have a date with someone else. You're not necessarily having sex with them. You don't have to
date. That I like. Yes, no, I am a sort of serial dater.
Okay.
And that's one thing that I appreciated from this dating culture thing that I didn't know about before, is that you can see all these people, and, like, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to end up being in a relationship with any of them, but it's just you get to know all these people, and... you get to figure out, like, that's my, I think that's the part of dating culture I've kept, is, like, meeting all these people, figuring out what kind of relationship I want to have with those people, and understanding that every relationship can be different. Yeah.
That's what I
do. So I do date.
Okay. Yeah. And, yeah, that's it. I don't know, this is what this episode's about, like, dating and, the thought of, like, having sex right now. Like, people, like, do people feel comfortable having sex right now, especially during the Rona? I call this episode Hot Rona Summer. because it's like, well, I personally, as a person, I'm not going to say I'm a serial dater in any way. I like being in a relationship. I've been single for a while. I don't necessarily love dating because there's a lot that you kind of go through that's not great, and so you kind of have to go through the bad to get to the good, which is hard. But it's like, during the Rona, I don't know how people are doing it virtually, or, like, what is going on here. And so, like, my first question before we get into that is, like, what are your days looking like right now, and how is it different from here in the States, where we are technically still social distancing?
So I arrived in France early June. I've been in Paris for a month now, and it's pretty different. When I left, we were deep in under lockdown. I was at home every day, working from home, doing everything from home, and I started to see some friends who were okay with it, but most of my friends were like, I'm not seeing anyone, and that was really hard for me. I was not doing well mentally, I think. It was really hard for me to not be able to see anyone. Especially because I was new to the city. I moved to New York in July last year, and I started to get some friendships, and lockdown happened, like, when I was, like, midway through forming some kind of regular friendships. Some of my friends live very far. Some of my friends moved somewhere else. So, like, I was just, like, very lonely experience in New York. And I moved here, and when I arrived, France was reopening Terrasse. The day I arrived was the day they reopened Terrasse. And Paris just looked like Paris, you know, like, people dining out, having coffee, like chatting, and I reconnected with all my friends. So, like, it almost, like, I had like a sort of social crave. And also the first day I arrived, the terrace opened and the protest against police violence, the biggest one, like the first big one, was the night of, and I went there. And so that day was so intense because, like, I got there, I cut my hair, I got a phone, like, number. I, like, put my stuff down, and the night of, I was, like, in the streets, marching with everyone else. And it was just like, ah, I'm back to life.
Wow.
I was so happy. I was so happy. And, like, and then that week after, I just saw my friends, like, reconnect with all these people. And it's just, like, I got this sort of, like, social thirst, like, that was met during those times. So now my rhythm looks like a lot of work now. I started working, like, a week or two after I arrived. And, yeah, so it's a lot of work, but I sometimes see people after work or in the weekends.
Yeah, and tell us where you work, by the way, because it's sick. It's dope.
I work at a DSS theater press.
Like, come on. You have to put that out there.
Yeah, it's really dope. Yeah, the people are really nice. It's like, it's, I love it. It's like a lot of work. It's tough, but I love it. It's good work. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very glad that I deferred my internship to Philadelphia Inquirer at the Craig Newmark School of Journalism, just because I don't think I'd be able to do it. Like, with everything going on with the protests and, like, the distraction with the Rona and things going on in my life, it was just, like, it's just too much. Like, I ask my friends all the time, how do you guys do it? I really want to know how you guys are, like, holding on.
I think if it wasn't for the protests, it would have been much, much harder for me. Like, I really dreaded the idea of covering coronavirus all summer long. Like, I was just like, coronavirus was just a whole, like, a turnoff. It's, like, really a topic that I'm not attracted to. I mean, no one is attracted to coronavirus, but some people have been enjoying reporting on it. People were like, this is the time to be a reporter, da-da-da-da-la. And I didn't really feel that call. But when the protests happened, I was like, this is the time for me. Like, I was like, this is my calling. This is what I was preparing myself all this time to do. Like, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. So I think the protests really gave me life again to be like, okay, this is why I'm in this job. And this is why I need to be out there and working right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel like I've been taking a big break from journalism. Working on this podcast has been, like, my full-time thing, like a full-time job, and I love it. In the beginning of the pandemic, when I didn't have this podcast, I felt like I didn't have an arm, you know? Just part of me felt like, it just felt so weird, and it's just a weird time, you know? Like, where simple things are just, like, hard to come by, you know, or they were, including, like, dating, you know, and I don't even know when I'm going to start dating again. I have no idea because I'm a very in-person type of gal. I don't like the whole virtual thing. You know, that's why I kind of hated the end of the last semester because it was just everything online. I couldn't stand it.
I feel the same. And I feel like this time is making everything that's a little annoying, unbearable. Kind of like when you're on drugs. I don't know if you've ever been on certain kind of drugs.
Just weed. Just weed.
Well, one of those drugs that's great makes those kind of situations that you don't like really situations you don't want to get involved in. And I feel like this is kind of what the pandemic is doing. But it was hard at the beginning for me because there was not, I couldn't see an angle where it could be like, this is the things I want to do. And yeah, like I was saying, the protest did that. So like for you, what you're saying, like about your distance to journalism and how the podcast like kind of was your arm. Like, I feel like it's something like that about figuring out your calling, figuring out what works, and like, yeah, like Zoom classes are just not my thing. Not my thing.
It's not my thing either. And honestly, this podcast also kind of helps me feel less isolated. Helps all of us feel less isolated because if I bring guests on like you, now you have someone else to talk to. You have something else to kind of get involved in. And it's good. It really, podcasts now more than ever, we need them right now. And a friend of mine just like started a podcast called like Grad Life Uncut. You know what I mean? And it's like, she started it during the Rona. Fuck the Rona. But Rona's starting things. I'm saying.
But you know, I wonder if people like started relationships during coronavirus. I find that so strange. Such a strange idea.
Yeah, I have a friend who actually started off, went back out with his ex during the Rona time. Yeah, it's starting up relationships. Starting relationships up.
Like, all of my red lights are lighting up at this idea, but I'm like, you do you. If you figure this out for yourself.
There's not a person I would, let me tell you, there's not a person I would get back with. Not a person. No matter what disease is out here. So I'll just put it out there to any exes out there who think I might date you again. Nah.
You have this saying, in French we have this saying, going back with your ex is like swallowing up your vomit. Do you have this saying or a similar saying? It's horrible.
That's disgusting.
But it's kind of true. My exes are not garbage. Not all of them. Some of them are. But yeah.
Only one of them are for me. Or maybe, yeah.
But it's like, once it's an ex, it's an ex. Like, even if you're on good terms, like, there's probably a reason. For me.
Yeah, let's put exes in the box that we're not going to reopen. Nor
exactly.
Nah.
The exes stay in the box.
The Xbox. And do you have, this is not one of my questions, but I'm bringing this up. Do you have an Xbox? Like a box for stuff that your ex gave you?
Oh my god, I do. I completely forgot about it. I think I threw it away. I hope I did.
You hope you did?
Oh my god. Oh god. Oh god, I have to check now. I have to check now. I will tell you. Wow, thank you for reminding me of this. I think I do. I used to have this box with, like, what did I put in it? Like, letters or, like, objects and stuff?
Yeah.
I think I threw it away. No, I threw it away. So I kept it for a while, and then I had a second fallout with the ex, and then I was like, I'm throwing this away, I think. Wow, if I did not throw it, I am very disappointed at myself.
I don't know, for me, I'm the first one to be like, hey, this is not happening again. Delete this person's number, unfollow. Like, I unfollow exes. But I keep the stuff just because those are memories. I have the bear right up here that one of my exes got me from Switzerland. When he went to Switzerland, I kept that. I have a Valentine's Day gift, birthday gift. I have pictures of us, cards. I kept it.
Pictures are complicated because I have pictures on my phone now. I feel like pictures that were material maybe are easier to throw away. I don't know. I have, though, over the years, when I was looking at my like photo library, like deleted some pictures of me with exes. I don't know. I don't like holding on to these things.
I delete it from my phone, though. And I think it's a good idea maybe to make a folder in your laptop. In a special folder, and you just keep it off of your, like, phone.
Yeah.
Just so that you don't have to, like, scroll. Because I agree that looking through your social media or phone pictures is just, like, shitty for you to get over it.
It just feels weird. Like, I don't feel, like, bad about it or anything.
Yeah.
It just feels like, okay, this is not really me anymore. And, like, it feels weird to still have this in my phone and somewhere, anywhere, actually. Like, I've deleted from any place.
Like, yeah, I know, I get that, especially when it's, like, a painful thing. Like, with the toxic friend that I told you that I just cut out for my life, I deleted every picture of me and her together on my phone. I even blocked her on social media. Like, I did it for me, because it's cleansing. Like, I was like, this bitch does not need to be anywhere in my phone, my laptop, my thoughts. So that you need to do it, and it's a beautiful thing. Really, you don't have to hold on to things. Just my own personal thing when it comes to an ex that I loved.
No, I agree.
I don't
like, I have all these people who are like, oh, I don't feel like I'm following them. I'm like, what? You're going to still see them in your fucking feed. You're going to see their stories. Like, I can't do this. If it's over, I don't want to see your stuff.
But like, I don't even want to see your face in them streets either.
Yeah.
At all. You know what? Stay in lockdown. And it's weird when you share friends.
I don't want to recognize you.
And it's really awkward. It's happened to me. Where, like, you're friends with other people who are friends with them.
Oh, God.
I had a situation, like, one of my closest friends is friends with my ex. And like, we don't talk about him, but like, fucking weird. It's weird. Trust me.
That's a worst. Tough one. I think luckily enough, I haven't had that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's tricky. And I think I've never had that in my life. Have I? Mostly not. I've dated outside of my direct social circle.
That's a smart thing. I actually am going to start doing that. Like, no more within friends, never doing that again.
Which is a really tough one when you're gay, because everybody knows each other.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
When you're younger. When I was younger, there was no way, like, every gay was in my social circle.
Like, oh, God.
There's just such, it's like such a tiny network that, like, you necessarily are dating your exes, like, you're connected to everyone.
Oh, God. Oh, God, that's my worst nightmare. You know, that's my literal worst nightmare.
Look, don't turn gay.
No. No. Do not date girls, okay?
You haven't heard of the chart? It's a real thing. In the L Word, there's like a whole episode about the chart. And like, actually one of the characters of the L Word is like this amazing lesbian show. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
This the journalist character, there's one character who's a journalist. She has a podcast called The Chart, I think. And she has a whole chart of everyone connected to each other. And
oh my God.
Anyways. That's real for gay men, too.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I literally, when I was dating my ex, I could barely deal with him being friends with an ex. Oh, let alone, like, me being with this dude who was with this person. Like, it's like, what? It's just...
How long would you survive the gay dating scene? Not very long, probably.
a few weeks.
Yeah.
A few weeks. Like, yeah, it'd just be hard. It'd be hard. I can't imagine that. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the future? I mean, some dudes be trash. Who knows where I'm going to end up, who I'm going to end up with? Right? So, but have you been dating a lot over the course of this pandemic? Like, from the beginning, were you dating virtually? Or did you just start dating again recently?
At the beginning in New York, I had some, like, phone sex with someone. He turned out to be a douchebag. But, like, an absolute douchebag. But, yeah, it just, like, ended. Like, it just ended because I was like, I'm not into this. Like, I'm not into the whole, like, I think he was, like, possessive or something. And I was like, it's lockdown. What are you possessing? Like, what are you trying to possess? We are not seeing each other. Or, like, I don't know. It was weird. Like, he was behaving like we were a couple when we just had phone sex. Like, this is really awkward. This is giving me like major red flags.
So he got like attached. Like, he got like too attached and very controlling.
He wasn't attached, I would say. I would say he was like controlling.
Okay.
Like, kind of was jealous. I was like, what are you jealous about?
Yeah.
Like, we've never met in person. Like, okay, this sounds complicated. But then I did break quarantine. I am a guilty one. I met up with someone about a month or two into the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 2 months in. I was like, who have you been seeing? And that's the way kind of like I think this is going to go for me now. It's like, this looks like the way I've always been having. Been learning. When you're gay, you learn to live with like STDs, or like, I mean, I don't think it's just a gay thing. I think everyone should be learning to do that, but like, gay people are more aware of these things because we are experiencing a pandemic also, like the HIV pandemic. Epidemic. I don't know how.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The HIV epidemic. So like, I think gay people are more like sexual health savvy. Depends who, actually. It really depends who.
Yeah.
But some people are luckily have access to a lot of things around sexual health. And one thing that I think, and straight people, you guys should be doing this too.
Yeah.
Like,
condoms.
Like, condoms.
No glove, no love.
Just asking your friends, like, status. Like, have they been checked regularly? Like, when was the last time they got checked? Did they have unprotected sex recently? And it's the same, I mean, it's not the same, but it has similarities in that, like, if you know your COVID status, if you know that you've been putting yourself in situations where you could have been exposed to the virus, like, give a heads up to your partner about it, or like, once, like, you ask people, like, have you been putting yourself in situations? Or one question I've been, like, asking myself and others is, like, are you seeing people who are, like, potentially very vulnerable to the virus? Like, have you been, yeah, what kind of encounters have you had with people? But I'm not a cop either, but I'm just, like, asking people's status. Mm-hmm. Like, I would ask people's, like, sexual health status. I would ask people's COVID status. That's becoming a thing, I think. And I think I'm mimicking this from what I know about my sexual health practices, and I think that's what the world is going to look and should be looking for in terms of like how to negotiate this intimately, because mm-hmm. the reality is like you can say like nobody meets no one, like everyone stays indoor, no sex, no da 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 da. People are still going to do it. That's the same kind of like approach to harm reduction that there is in sexual health, and that's why there's this thing of like there's no shame. There's just like, know your status, share your status, agree on the risk, like be aware of the risk, agree on the risk. Like there's no zero risk. Like you can never be shielded from the risk. But the least you can do is protect yourself as much as you can, know the status of yourself and know the status of other people, check yourself regularly. That's the way it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so have you been like, finding yourself kind of doing like one night stands, things like that, are those things that you're engaging in right now during this time?
Not one night stand. That's the one thing that I'm not really comfortable doing though. The people I've broken lockdown with were people that I knew.
Got it.
Like, just because, I mean, in general, having this discussion when it's about sexual health, you'd rather have it with someone you can trust a little bit. So having that COVID discussion is like similarly, like I've been talking to this person for like a few months and whatever. Okay. So I can get a sense of like trustworthiness with this person. So that's why I feel comfortable like meeting with these people. So I haven't had sex with anyone that I didn't really know a little bit before.
Okay. And so like, are you a fan of like dating apps and stuff like that? Is that something that you kind of engage with?
Dating apps, yeah.
Okay.
Since I'm back in Paris, I've been back on like my dating habits, and I met up with two people. Well, one person was not through dating app, was like a related friend.
Okay.
And someone else. Well, two people are like one of them is one acquaintance, one is a friend of a friend, one is someone I met on a dating app. I've met them separately. And yeah, the first thing was like non-sexual, but in France now it's also okay to sort of not wear masks. So like our first encounter has been like, I've had a drink with someone or I hung out in a park with someone. But yeah, like I mean, I think I'm also growing into this age where I'm less into one night stands, like not one night stand, but like sort of hookups with strangers. Like that was the thing that I was doing a lot when I was younger.
Sure.
Not a thing that I do as much. And I think in addition to this like evolution in my way of behaving, there's the COVID pandemic and there's like a bunch of other things that I feel less comfortable about doing the same way that I used to.
Yeah, you sound like you're having a hot girl summer. Like what you're describing. I'm like, you sound like me last summer.
Yeah, I feel like in spite of all these rules around not having one night stands, I am seeing a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not humble at all right now. It can be an issue sometimes feeling desirable and like searching for that, but striking a balance with it and having like, for me, like having a fulfilling professional life, having fulfilling social life, and also like a desirable, like a life of like a part of desire in my life is like a sort of balance that I've been reconstructing since I'm a little bit out of like a strict lockdown.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everyone wants to feel desired, you know? And like the good thing about being single is that you know, sometimes we do feel that, like, insecurity, like, oh my God, I want to feel attractive, I want to feel this. But, like, when you're single, you learn to look within yourself. And I mean single, not just, like, single out here dating. I mean, like, single, like, you're just by yourself. Like, let's say you're not having sex with anyone. You have to, like, find that within yourself. And especially with the Rona, it's really hard because there's a lot of extremes. It's either you're with someone and you're up under them, or you're, like, by yourself, kind of in your house, and you're just kind of lonely. And I don't know, it is kind of hard to find that balance, especially now when, like, do you feel comfortable sleeping with this person? You know what I mean? Like, for me, last time I got laid was, like, the beginning of the lockdown, like, beginning, when, like, we just found out school was out. I did not break quarantine. But not sex. No, I did not break it sexually. And it's just, like, number one, I don't know who, because the guy that I had, you know, seen, I told him, I don't want to do it anymore with you. But I made it clear, like, I don't want to do this anymore because I want something more fulfilling. I'm really tired of the idea of just having sex with someone that can't take me home to their parents. You know what I mean? Like, just that doesn't really sit well with me anymore as it did before. It was okay before because I was new to it. But now I'm just like, I want to be with someone that, like, I can actually someday be with long term. And that's just where I am now. Yeah. And it feels good to say that because I think I was scared to say that for a while.
That's interesting. I was like that a lot, I think. But I think the way I did it was not realistic, like, because I've been moving a lot in the last 5 years of my life. I was in Montreal for 4 years, and then I was in Paris for 6 months, and then I was in New York for, like, a year, and now I'm in Paris for, like, 4 months, and then I'll be back in New York if the borders reopen. And I don't know where I'll be at the end of December, like, if I'll stay in New York or back in France. And so, like, it's been really hard to reconcile. Like, I don't think that it was really realistic for me to find commitment in those times, and still it's not really. So it's been a real effort trying to, like, bring it back to, okay, what's going on now? And, like, also being realistic about the fact that I'll be gone in 2 months, like, this is, like, a whole thing for me. So, like, that's why I'm, like, I'm not really looking for someone to be my husband right now or my partner or anything, because I've just come to terms with the fact that it's not possible right now. But I think when the time comes, I will want that. But I need to find a stability and some kind of be able to project myself, like, the difference with you and me is, like, you've grown up in New York and you see yourself in New York, and I don't know where I belong yet. So I think it's, like, being honest to myself is also accepting that I can't project myself in that way with people that they're not there yet either. Like, that, like, it's hard to commit to someone that, like, doesn't know where they belong, that doesn't know where they're gonna live in, like, 1 year, 2 years. So I think that's why it's hard for me to be in that mindset.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, for me, if the Philly Inquirer ends up hiring me, I was thinking about it, and it was like, well, Philly would be an awesome place to live. And so then there was the thought of, well, if I meet someone here, how can I keep that relationship if I'm going to be living in Philadelphia? Because I don't believe in long distance relationships.
How far is Philadelphia?
It's about maybe 3 hours or something, like, drive. Which is not bad.
Like, 3 hours is long.
Drive. I mean, like, last time I went, I took the bus. But I know my dad's gonna be driving me to the internship and stuff like that. And I think he said it's about 3 hours. So, you know, and I consider that long term just because it's another city, you know, and it's like Philly. It's like, it's different. You know, it's similar to New York, but it's like its own little different, you know, city and the different state, and it's. And, like, do I want to be with someone long-term? Like, those are the questions I have. But, you know, I don't really think about it too much because I don't have a partner now. So I don't really need to think about that. Who knows? I might be single up until the end of the year. I might be single for 3 years. I have no idea. Like, I just kind of let life happen.
Have you done long distance before?
Never. I've never done long distance. I need physical touch. I'm a very physical person.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of long distance, but it was just a way to live in a fantasy. Me.
It is. You don't know what that person's doing, and I always say, don't know what that person's doing. They could be telling you they're with their friends and they with another girl or guy or what. Nah, No. No. I was like, we're not.
It wasn't that as much as like not trusting what the person is doing. It's more that like being far away, I could imagine that this person was so many things that they weren't.
Yeah.
And so whenever we would be in person, it would be a very different thing. And it was not even because like it wasn't their fault. It was just me imagining things and making things in my head. Yeah. So yeah, long distance, I'm also keeping that away from me.
Yeah, I'm very, I need physical touch. I need to hold your hand. We need to go on dates, not virtual. You know, I need something real. And, you know, yeah. It's out there. Like, you know, just because you're single now doesn't mean you're not going to be single. You don't know how long you're going to be single for. That's the thing about life. You don't know. It's so, we didn't know that we'd be in this position now. I'd be talking to people through a screen. So life is just really, really unpredictable. But you talked a little bit about dating life and also about sexual health, which I thought was very important to bring up. Because for me, I say no glove, no love. I always say that. And anytime I'm with a guy, I always make sure, like, take out the condom. And what I like now is that guys are very open. Like, hey, I brought the condom.
Do you ask their status?
Do I ask their status? Like, if they have something?
Do you be like, would you ask, like, when was the last time you got tested? And, like, what was your status like?
I think I've asked that to everyone except for one because he hadn't had sex in like 3 years, so there was no point in asking that. But for the most part, yes, I do ask, what was the last time you had sex? Did you get tested? These are not sexy conversations, but they have to be had. They have to.
Yeah.
And people might lie. Who knows? I've done some risky shit before. I'm not going to lie. I've done some things that are like, wow, but I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm blessed. You know, I'm very lucky. But yeah, I do notice now that I feel like before guys used to say, oh, it's not comfortable. They used to make excuses. And now it's more like, okay, I'll put it on.
Have you had guys ask you this before you asked them this?
Yes. One guy, we used to do it in the backseat of his car. This is last summer. Hot girl summer, 2019. Yes.
I love this aesthetic.
Yeah. I remember he was the one who asked me because I think he was like, okay, let's do it without it. But did you get tested? And I said, did I get tested? You're the one sleeping around. You know, like, he's the one who's, you know, he's a serial, I don't know what you call it. Not serial dater, but serial sexer or something. I just made that word, those words up. But, like, he had a lot of sex with people, and he was asking me, like, did you get tested? Are you sure? I'm trusting you. I said, yeah. And so we did it, and it's better without it, obviously. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't use it. Like, just because it feels better. You know, without it doesn't mean that you, if you don't know the person, should just do that. So I do believe in, like, sexual health, making sure you put it on. For me, if I was with my ex for 2 years, so there were times where we didn't use it because we trusted each other. But be very careful to my viewers here.
That's why PrEP is good, too. It's a good thing for your listener to consider.
Yeah.
I'm on PrEP. A lot of gay people are on PrEP, but a lot of straight people are on PrEP, too. And but something to consider if you're having a lot of unprotected sex in terms of condoms. That's something to consider because, I mean, gay people don't have to think about, that's another thing that I often forget about, like, getting kids like this.
Yeah, that's all I think about.
That's another issue altogether.
Yeah.
But STDs, yeah. And it's and then from what you tell me, then I retract what I was saying about gay people and STDs. Like, it seems like you guys are getting it too and talking about it, which is like really heartwarming and good to hear.
And like, you know, what heterosexual couples, like, all we think about, especially women mostly, we think about is getting pregnant and making sure. And that's why we really use it. It's like, not only because STDs, but because, like, I don't want to get pregnant. I'm not at the place where I can get pregnant. And then we're talking about abortion. That's not an easy thing to get. It's not something that feels good to get. As a woman, I know, you know, I don't really know of anyone who've had an abortion, but I can't imagine what that's like. And now they're trying to kind of make it harder for us to get it if we need it. So there are a lot of things to think about when you're sleeping with someone. And you have to be very, very, very careful. And that's, with the Rona, it's really scared me. Like, what if this person has Rona and or has this and that and, like, isn't honest?
That's three layers now.
I have to be extremely careful, and I'm fine. You know, there are times where I really do miss it. Don't get me wrong. I miss it. I miss it like anything else. It is better than tacos, you know? It's, and I love tacos. So like, it's up there with like the best thing in the world. But you have to like, I want to make sure there's something else there, like connection. There's, it has to just happen naturally, you know? So, yeah, but what is the hardest thing about dating right now for you? Because I know you said that you seem to be like thriving, but what are some of the hardships that you find right now, well, if there are any?
I am thriving, but also I think I'm still struggling with what I was telling you a little bit about my fantasies and this obsession I had with like long distance dating. Like, I don't do long distance dating anymore because I know that this shit gets there. Mm-hmm. But like, I still get this sometimes where like, I start seeing someone and I really like the first time we have together. And like, I get caught up a little bit in my like ideas about what this could be and da 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 da. Mm-hmm. And so, but now I have some techniques to try and like calm myself down and be like, okay, but wait, like this person still needs to prove this and that, mm-hmm. and this and that, and they haven't showed up for this and they haven't showed you that they can be there in that way for you and stuff like that. So that's like kind of like a mental battle that I have to go through when I start dating people. And I still go through, I'm going through it right now. And it has varying levels of intensity and depends on my mood of the moment. And if I feel more lonely, it's harder to fight it. Like if I'm not feeling great in my head, it's not easy to fight it. But yeah, I think this is one hard thing. I've also haven't had like a serious relationship in a long time. So I think I have some kind of like, it's a little daunting to me to be like, am I capable of having one? You know, like, I'm just like, I'm asking myself that question. And I don't know what it would look like and feel like, because I feel like the time when I had serious relationship was such a long time ago. And I'm like, was I even, like, I feel like I was a kid, I was a baby. I was like, was this even a real relationship? Like, is that our relationship, my relationships in the future going to look anything like the things that I've experienced in the past in terms of intimacy and sexuality and making intimacy and sexuality coexist is like something that's always been really hard in the past for me. So I'm like, how is this going to look like in the future? Because I haven't experienced a situation in which these things coexisted in a very good way.
Yeah. 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 And I could definitely relate to you when you said you haven't been in a serious relationship in a long time. Me as well. Mm. I haven't been in a serious, like, long-term relationship in so long. And it's something that I've always wanted before him and I still want now. And it's definitely strange. Like, if I do get in a relationship like a month from now or something like that, it's going to feel like, wow, I've been single for so long. And relationships are a lot of work. And yeah. I can imagine now more than ever, but it's a lot of work. I saw a lot of people my age don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. A lot. God, you have to be there. It's like a full-time job, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and not a lot of men and women really feel comfortable digging into that. And
are you going for like a monogamous relationship, or do you don't know, or you're like open relationship?
I can tell you this: I am not in any way into open relationships or having to share someone. I couldn't do it, and I respect people who do it. You know, Shan Booty, she's a sex expert and she's so intelligent. I love hearing her speak and I love getting her side of things, because really, I've always been monogamous. And so it's kind of cool to hear from someone who doesn't engage with that. But she's very knowledgeable about monogamous relationships. And, you know, I love hearing other people's perspectives, but I 100% can tell you, do not. I like my man, my person. Don't look at him. Don't look at her, like, let me stop. I'm also territorial, no. Which is bad. It's not a good
thing. No, I think I really respect that. I think, like, in Montreal, everyone was, like, open relationship, polyamory. Like, that's a stereotype about Montreal, and it is true, especially in the queer community. Like, especially queer lesbians in Montreal, they're just, it's a lot of polyamory around there. And yeah, in Montreal, everyone was in some sort of, even in New York, like the gays today, like everyone's in an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship. I honestly don't know. I think that monogamy is not that bad.
It's a beautiful thing. When you love someone and you just want to be with that one person, that's beautiful. I don't think that...
Exactly.
Yeah. And I want to ask you, I'm very curious about that. Why is polygamy very popular in the LGBTQ plus community so much? I've always been curious about that.
Well, I think it's like... Well, first, they wouldn't say polygamy.
Oh, okay.
They would say polyamory.
Okay.
Polyamory. It's like... Not, I think there was like a sense of hierarchy that they wouldn't like.
Okay.
I think there's
cool.
like a discourse that's like, there's like different types of discourse. There's one that's like, oh, it's natural to just love a lot of people. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I find some kind of resonance in that for myself. Like, I feel like it would be weird for me to like stop feeling desire for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel though that expressing and cultivating a love relationship with more than one person, like mm-hmm. a romantic and sexual relationship, would be a lot. I don't mm-hmm. think it's impossible, but I think it would be a lot. So I'm not like close to the idea of having more than one love partner and like love and sex partner, but I feel like it's more probable that I would be, that it would, it's more feasible that I would have like one love and sexual relationship with one person and like other sort of like sexual relationship with other people that's not necessarily tied to a commitment romantically.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, so the argument for this and the prevalence of this in the queer community is a departure, I think, from heterosexual, like monogamous models of relating to each other. Yeah, there's just so many things about, yeah, I think a lot of people's experience with queerness is like entering into a world where you don't have any models around relationships. And so it's like both a space that can be very anxious for people, but also a space of radical creation, of radical innovation, and like figuring out what's best for you and what you like about your body, about the way you relate to others. I think that's one of my favorite things about being gay, is like inventing a love language or inventing a way of relating to people that's different. Like, one thing that I love about being gay is having friends with whom I can feel sexual desire without it being romantic, but I still love them, but they're my friends. And these kind of relationships are not so, we don't have a lot of words for them, but like, being gay opens up the door, like opens up doors for you to have those kind of relations with people that are more flexible, more free in some ways. It could be tricky sometimes. Like, I feel like sometimes it can also turn into something where, oh, there's no label, so like mm-hmm. you can get fucked over by people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that well, or if you figure out what's best for you and what's the best way to have those sort of new and sort of unnamed, uncharted relationships, it can be really resourceful and rewarding and pleasurable. Thanks.
Yeah, and I mean, you can make things up as you go. You don't have to follow a set mm-hmm. of rules, and that's what love is. You don't have to, you know, do what you want to do.
But at the same time,
mm-hmm.
sorry, did you want to
say? I was gonna say. Also, I noticed I said the wrong word. I said polygamy. I meant polyamory. I said polygamy instead. Polygamy is like marrying, you know, having different wives and stuff like that, which is not legal here. So we're not gonna, so I'm not.
Avoid this one.
Yeah. So sorry to the queer community.
let's dodge a bullet here. Yeah, no. I have polyamory.
Polyamory, yes.
Yeah, but also I think I've been in that phase where I was like, yeah, let's just get into this sort of like free love and love everyone and give no label and everything. I think there's some part of truth to it, but I've also found value in commitment and labels and like saying, okay, this is us now. And this is also a structure. And this is a way of relating to one another so that you don't end up in a situation where it's been 3 months that we're like free loving and like, you're ghosting me all of a sudden and you're telling me, well, we never were in a relationship anyways in the first place. So, because that's like the sort of like upside of like, or the downside of having a sort of no label way of going at things.
Yeah.
So it's a balance to strike for sure. Like it's not, I think a total no label model is not necessarily a good idea either.
Yeah, like I just don't like the idea of leaving the door open for things to happen, you know, and I don't think you have to verbalize everything. I'm the kind of person that verbalizes everything and kind of takes the romanticness out of it, and I don't want to do that. But I don't want to leave room for like, oh, well, I like this girl, and maybe my girl's going to be cool with that. And it's like, nope, I'm not, you know, and I feel like I do kind of have to tell someone like, hey, I'm not really interested in you. I'm not into us being with other people. Like, if we're just dating, sure, like we can kind of be talking to other people because we didn't really put a set label on it yet, because I don't think you need to put a label on immediately. But I have a problem with it being like, okay, we're a year in and you still kind of are talking to someone else. And it's like, well, I feel like I wasted my time because I put a lot into this and you're just like putting yourself into like different things. And that doesn't work for me. I like to be special. I like to be the only one. And I think there's a lot of people like that. So I just have to find my people.
And I think I like that too. I think even if I were in an open relationship, I'd want to, like, my partner to be, like, I'm different from, like...
Main partner, yeah.
People. Yeah. No, and, like, you are different from the people that I'm seeing on the side. And, like, these are my friends, and they matter to me, and they're not too... And I don't want either to think that, like, my partner is more important than my friend or something like that. Like, that's something that I think I try to reconcile. But also, like, yeah, this is a different relationship. This
exactly.
I'm not loving everyone the same way.
Exactly. That's the important thing about it. And I feel like, you know, if people do want to do, like, an open marriage, that's how it would work. Like, you have your spouse, and then, like, you guys have your own partners on the side. But again, they have to know, like, this is my main partner. And I love you guys differently. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't leave my partner for you, like, my main partner. Like, there has to be that kind of conversation also for it to work, I think. Or it'll just kind of be just nothing, and I don't know, just no labels, no anything.
You definitely need rules around open relationships.
For sure, and I'm telling you, I can't do it. I wouldn't be able to. The closest I've done to it maybe was when I was sleeping with this dude, the one who I had in the back of the car, his car. he was talking to other people. I don't believe he was sleeping with anyone else while he was with me. He might have been. I don't know if he was telling the truth, but that was the closest that it was to kind of him stepping out a little bit.
It was not consensual.
Hmm?
It was not really consensual, though, which isn't really nice.
Yeah, like, if he was... I mean, he told me he was talking to someone else, but what does talking mean, right?
Yeah.
I said this in Love is a Gamble. What the hell does talking mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think I either said this in Love is a Gamble or I said this in Living Single, one of the episodes I had. What the hell is talking mean? Like, you just, you know, I know it don't mean you're just talking, you know. So, I have another problem with that. And people say, oh, I was talking to this person. Like, what does, tell me what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, I'm just nosy too.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah. But what advice do you have for people who don't necessarily feel comfortable dating online and who are still trying to practice self-distancing, because social distancing? Because I don't know. I'm in between, you know?
Like kind of like, should you date online or not, or kind of stuff like that?
Yeah, like...
Or what kind of precautions you should be taking?
Yeah, like, what kind of... Well, I know what kind of precautions. I think people know what kind of precautions they should be taking. Mm-hmm. But, like, what if you're in a spot where you want to date, but you're not really an online dater, and you're also not trying to be out here in them streets? So you're kind of just between a rock and a hard place.
Meet someone outside. Mm-hmm. Meet someone in a park. Walk with someone. Take a bike ride with someone. Like, yeah, find a way to have a low-level engaging, like, situation. And, like, if you feel uncomfortable about spending so much time with someone, like, have a plan where you're like, let's just hang out for, like, 30 minutes, 1 hour, because then I have to, like, catch something or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, working from home and I'm so busy in my schedule, whatever kind of bullshit you can imagine. but yeah, like, finding this sort of low-level engagement of intimacy or whatever you can bring to the table. Like, yeah, you chat with someone online and then you're like, yeah, I don't feel comfortable with you coming to my home right away. Like, let's just like have a drink or walk in a park or do a run around the neighborhood. Or yeah, I think this is a good way to like be in that space where it's like, it's not necessarily sexual, but it's also a great way to assess if they feel reliable, trustworthy, and then see if you want to move on to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's some good advice. I mean, you know, who knows what the rest of my summer looks like? I mean, right now, I tell you, if someone was to tell me that this would be my summer last year, I would think they're lying, that this would be my reality. Hopefully, you know, I start hanging out with friends more, I can go out more. Because it's weird. It's like I started, then went back, then started, then went back, you know? When in terms of like going out.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel ready for dating people?
Yeah.
Are you scared?
Well, dating I can do. I'm not scared about the dating. I think it's just like having sex with the Rona out here and there's no vaccine. That's a little bit something that I'm like, I'm not sure. But with dating, yeah, I think I've been ready for a while. I mean, I'm always ready to meet someone and to connect. And when it happens, it'll be a beautiful thing and it'll go well. Cause I'm tired of meeting these trash ass dudes, you know,
like if sex is like such a liability in the sort of Rhoda context, like you can just like up the bar that you used to have as sort of like a standard for sex, like kind of like the standard you used to have for like, I don't know, the standard I have to just explore my sexuality and like get into like kinks or stuff like that, for example. For me, the bar is higher. And I wouldn't do that on the first night necessarily. And I think similarly, like you can be like, okay, I want to see this person a few times before we get into sex. And I think that can actually sort of enrich your sexual life because it's like a very different way of having sex because you've like known this person better and like you started to know this person before discovering their buddies. And I think that's like a really, I don't know, I think it can be extremely sexy to like up the bar on your like getting into bed standards. Yeah,
no, for sure. I mean, right now I don't know, let's see what happens. Maybe the next episode I'll come in, I'll be like, yo, I got me a man, like who knows. who knows what's gonna happen. Yeah, but I think we reached the end of my episode. This is the longest episode we ever filmed.
Really? Oh my god. It's been my pleasure to participate in this. This was really fun.
Yes, thank you for coming on and dropping some hot gems. And yeah, but we will obviously, we need to hang out when you come back though. Like you gotta.
I gotta come back. Tell Trump to open those borders again, please.
Trump ain't gonna listen to me. I'm black. He ain't gonna listen to me.
That's a good point.
He's not gonna listen to me. I mean.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, but I just can't wait to see you.
Yeah, let's hang on to her back.
Awesome, bye.
See you soon.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.